Welcome to College Football Truth Day. I'm Riley Ruby from Chicago Sports Network.
And I'm Lincoln Stevens from American Football Network.
We hope that you will be following us all throughout the season as we pick the winners of the major college football matchups. Make sure you check out our YouTube channels and follow us on our podcast to make sure that you never miss another episode of College Football Truth Day.
Make sure you're following along. We really appreciate all of you guys' support. We'll take a quick ad break and we'll be right back with all the action.
Well, hey everyone, welcome back here to College Football Truth Day. We are here for our final podcast of the college football season as we recap this season and how crazy it was, the year of the upset. But it really ended on a great upset there with Georgia winning the national championship. That was a crazy game, a good game. But we are going to go through all of our awards. We're going to go from Offensive Player of the Year to College Football Truth Day MVP themselves. So, Lincoln, what were your thoughts on this crazy season?
It was a great season. A lot of stuff happened, a ton of upsets, just a million storylines every single week. It was just super exciting, one of the best college football seasons we've ever had, and it was a lot of fun, especially going along with this podcast series going along throughout the season. We really appreciate all you guys that followed along. So we'll just give you guys a recap of what happened. So after week one, you were up 13, or you were up by three games. You went 13-7. I went 10-10. Then by week two, I tied it back up. I went 12-8. You went 9-11. Then week three, we tied 11-9 apiece. So we stayed tied going into week four. You went 14-6. I went 11-9. So you went back up three games. On me.
That was just a magical number.
Yeah. Then in week five, I took the lead. I went 15-5. You went 11-9. I take a one game lead, and I believe I led for the rest of the time on. Yeah. The next week, I also went 15-5. You went 12-8. And yeah, so it was just, we just kept going. You did get a 16-4. I think that was the best record we had.
Yeah, I think it was. I think we both got 16-4 at one point. I don't think any of us reached that 17-3 mark.
You got 16-4 twice, actually, in week 7 and week 8. I got a ton of
15-5.
Yeah, the same week. But yeah, it really just fell apart for you in week 13. Coming into the week, I was up four games, and I beat you by five games, so I went up nine games, and it was just too much to overcome. But still, both very much respectable records when it's all said and done. I went 187-104. You went 177-114, so still very much over 500. Great records for both of us, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it was a great season. I know that both of our YouTube channels really succeeded in the past couple of months, and especially in the past month or so. So it has been a fun college football season. But why don't we get into the awards themselves? We are going to start off with Offensive Player of the Year. Lincoln, who is your Offensive Player of the Year?
My Offensive Player of the Year. By the way, we also didn't do duplicates. So, of course, our MVP, whether we have an offense or defensive player, we could have put it offense and defensive player of the year as well, but you can only pick a player for one award. So, my offensive player of the year is Bailey Zappe. Just an outstanding season for him. He broke the total yards in a season record. He broke the touchdowns in a season. He was 476 of 687. He completed 69.3% of his passes. Threw for 5,967 yards, 62 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions with a passer efficiency rating of 168.8. So just great numbers from him, just a great season in total, and he really put on a show this year at Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I think that Bailey Zappe is just one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in quite some time, stats-wise. So I think that he's a great quarterback, but on to another great quarterback for my offensive player year, and that's CJ Stroud out of Ohio State. I think that C.J. Stroud is just such a special player, and it's going to be sad to see him as a Notre Dame fan next year just kind of wreck college football in my estimate, because I just think Ohio State, they'll still have one of their biggest weapons coming back, and that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, who just had an all-time game at the Rose Bowl just a couple of weeks ago. So C.J. Stroud, a special player, and I think the offensive player of the year. And if it wasn't for that loss to either Michigan or Oregon, they probably could have won the national championship. So heading on to the next award here, we have the Defensive Player of the Year. Lincoln, who you have for the Defensive Player of the Year on your side?
So for Defensive Player of the Year, I have Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher from Michigan. Great numbers this year, 62 tackles, 16 and a half tackles for loss, 14 sacks, 3 pass deflections as well, and 2 forced fumbles. He just had an outstanding season. He's probably going to be a top 3 pick, maybe even number 1. I doubt the Jaguars will take him 1, but potentially, if he doesn't go 1, he'll definitely go 2, I would imagine, to the Lions. So he just had an outstanding year. He's just an outstanding talent. And, so I expect big things out of him in the NFL, and it was a great season for him.
Basically, instead of doing the combine, he just needs to learn how to bite them kneecaps particularly well, and he should be the number 2 overall pick. I think that's the big thing, is learning how to bite kneecaps, and he'll be a Detroit Lion in a matter of no time. So for my Defensive Player of the Year, I have Will Anderson, the linebacker slash edge rusher out of Alabama. Will Anderson was just another level to everyone this year, and he is a special, special talent. I think he's one of the best edge rushers we've seen come out since Myles Garrett or even maybe Jadeveon Clowney. I think that he's just an extremely special player. He's not even a junior yet, so he won't go to the draft. He will probably go next year. He's only a sophomore. So Will Anderson, a special player that had an incredible season. So heading on to our next award, we have Freshman of the Year, and that award will be going to who for you, Lincoln?
I have it going to Trevion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State. He had a great season. 184 carries for 1,255 yards, 6.8 yards a carry. I mean, that is just incredible. 15 touchdowns. Also added in 27 receptions for 312 yards and 4 touchdowns. So, I mean, the dude was just incredible. Put up very good numbers and was just a great weapon out of the backfield for the Buckeyes this season. And I think he was definitely the best freshman this season.
You'll hear no argument here from me. I think this is one of the few awards that we were trying to come up with other players for the award, but there's just nobody that's even close to Trevion Henderson. There's just not anybody close. We tried to not have the same players, but there's just not an argument there from either of us. So heading into Comeback Player of the Year, this should be one of the most interesting categories, as me and Lincoln both went in two different directions, but both very, very respectable, and some great storylines in both of these guys. Lincoln, who do you have as your Comeback Player of the Year?
So my Comeback Player of the Year is Mackenzie Milton. He didn't play well this year, in particular 81 of 139, only completed 58% of his passes for 775 yards, 3 touchdowns, 6 picks. But it's more of the story, not really what he – it's not about how well he played. It's just the fact that this guy was able to come back from such a – just a bad injury, and is able to come back and just step on the field again. It was just incredible for him. And I think it's nothing to be ashamed of, the bad year. I think he played pretty solid considering all he's been through, but it was just great to see him – get out on the field, especially in that week one. I know you weren't enjoying it too much, but to see him leading Florida State like that against Notre Dame at home was just truly special. Just to see him coming back from the injury, also on Bobby Bowden night, the first game since he had passed, that was pretty incredible to see the stuff he did. So I think he's my Comeback Player of the Year, although he didn't play particularly well.
Well, if he did that game against pretty much anybody else, I would have cheered for him. Like, not pretty much anybody else, I would have cheered for him. But I did not want Notre Dame to lose that game, and I really thought that it was going to be a Disney storybook ending for Mackenzie Milton. But unfortunately for him, and fortunately for Notre Dame was able to come out of there with a nail biter. Heading on to my comeback player of the year, goes in a little bit different direction, but similar characteristics. I have Cameron Rising, the quarterback out of Utah. And the reason why I have Cameron Rising here, A, I want to do something different than Lincoln, but B, I also thought that Cameron Rising, even though, yeah, I know it says comeback and you're technically supposed to have a good year and then come back, but Cameron Rising being able to come back and that entire, to be honest, I kind of, if it was a comeback player of the year, I just kind of want to put the entire Utah team as the comeback team just because of what they've experienced, the deaths of two of their players, one of them this year, one of them in the offseason. It's just what that team went through, what Cameron Rising went through throughout his career. This Utah team next year, they only really lose Devin Lloyd. This is going to be a scary Utah team, and I just want to give a special congratulations to Cameron Rising, who played fantastic quarterback and led this team to a 10-win season that was thought to be improbable when I think they started off 2-3. Or two, it was like 2-2 or something. Like, they had a very bad start of the season. So I know Lincoln wants to give a few thoughts on his opinions of what happened with the Utah team, because it was just such a great story of what happened, but also such a tragic story too.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll just go right into head coach of the year, because my head coach of the year is Kyle Whittingham, the head coach of Utah. The way that he kept that team together after Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe both passed away, good high school teammates, they committed to Utah together, two solid players, unfortunately were shot and killed. And the way that Whittingham kept this team together was just incredible. And Utah had a very good season. I think they won, how many was it, 10 games?
Yeah,
nine
won,
games, something
like that.
I think like
they
that.
Went they went 10 and something.
I think
it was
went
10
and
3.
Yeah. But they, I mean, they played great. They just curb-stomped Oregon twice. And I think Kyle Whittingham definitely did a great job of keeping his guys together and focused and motivated. And also keeping them calm during when all the tragedies happen. And, you know, it's real easy, especially to get real emotional whenever you make a big play. But they were all business on the field, and they went out, and they were a great story for sure.
Yeah, they'll be a scary team next year, like I said earlier. And they were a very scary team this year after the first couple of weeks under Charlie Brewer's quarterback. That was a great job by Kyle Whittingham to see the change that was needed, and he did a good job there. My coach of the year candidate will be Luke Fickell, and the reason why is that if you get a group of five team to the college football playoffs, you're my automatic coach of the year. Kyle Whittingham was a great coach, but he's been there a long time, and it's not that Luke Fickell hasn't been there, but I just think what Luke Fickell has done with that Cincinnati program and what he did to get to that national championship, and to be honest, he played better than Michigan did. So it's not even like they were the worst team in the college football playoff and it wasn't even close. They played Alabama semi-close. The problem is they just didn't have any physical bodies. So I want to congratulate Luke Fickell and Cincinnati Bearcats for at least making it there. On to the most improved team of the year. Who do you have for the most improved team of the year?
I have Baylor as the most improved team. I think they won like two games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on to beat Ole Miss and you finish like 10-3, I believe they were this year. That is just incredible. Actually, I think it was 11-2. I mean, excuse me. Was it 11?
Yeah, they won 11-2 because they won both.
That's
well,
right.
12-2.
12-2. That's
conference
right.
Championship.
Yeah, that's
game
right.
Too.
So just a great season for Dave Aranda and Baylor, really coming back. So yeah, they had a great game or a great season. After really struggling. So who is your most improved team?
So I was going to go with Baylor, but like I said earlier, I kind of want to go with different teams throughout this in different picks. So I had to pick the other two-win team last year that won 10-plus games, and that's Michigan. Michigan also had an incredible season. Unfortunately for them, it ended in defeat and absolute carnage for them. As me as a Notre Dame fan, I'm completely fine with that. But Michigan, Jim Harbaugh did do a pretty good job with this team. I'll congratulate him on beating Ohio State. But if I were him, I would leave. Well, you're liked and loved at Michigan rather than wait till you get fired. So on to the talking about firing. On to the most disappointing team. Who do you have for your most disappointing team of the season?
My most disappointing team is Wisconsin. I think they went 8-5, 9-4, something like that. But this is a team that people had coming out, going to the Big Ten Championship. A lot of people even had Wisconsin finishing undefeated, at worst with one loss. So it was just an awful year for Wisconsin. They didn't even finish ranked. I know the final poll hasn't come out yet, I don't think.
For the AP?
No, for the playoff final poll already came out. Did the AP one come out?
Yeah, it
okay.
is. Yeah.
I don't think they were ranked in that one, though.
No,
either.
They were not.
So, I mean, they're supposed to be unbeaten, one loss at worst, and they don't even finish the season ranked with bad losses to Minnesota. Like, they lost to Minnesota, a team who lost to Bowling Green. Like, it was just a bad game, a bad season overall.
And it wasn't like Bowling Green was a good Group of Five team. They went 2-10.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowling Green went 2-10. But also, speaking of which, Florida State also played. Who did they lose to? Jacksonville State
a couple years ago.
Well, this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this year, too. They've lost to them, like,
and
twice.
Jacksonville State is awful. They're not a good FCS program in any way, shape, or form. Either way, talking about my most disappointing team, well, they fired their coach for hitting a player, and that is the Washington Huskies. One of the most dysfunctional organizations right now. After Chris Peterson left, I don't know what they're going to go in directional-wise. I don't know if they hired a new head coach. I'm sure they have. But I don't know what direction they're going to go in, and what I mean by that is, how are you going to change it there? Because now USC is going to be good. UCLA looks better. Oregon's going to be pretty good, probably. Washington State's looking better.
Utah.
Oregon State's looking better. Utah's looking good.
Arizona
maybe
State.
Arizona State. Maybe even Arizona. Arizona has signed a fringe five-star. Best player in their signing history. So Washington is in a little bit of trouble because the Pac-12 is getting a little bit better, especially with Utah, Oregon, and USC. It's going to be hard to crack that area to get into to win the conference again. So I don't know what Washington does here, but they better figure it out soon, and maybe Sam Heward will be part of that rather than on the bench.
Yeah.
Okay, on to story of the year. What do you have as the story of the year?
So my story of the year is the magical, magical story of Stetson Bennett, the 24th. He played in 8 games last year.
And we mean all of that in good love and fun when we say the 24th.
Yes, yes. Last year he only completed 55% of his passes, barely threw for over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, 6 picks, played awful against Alabama, awful against Florida. And then he comes back this year, and he plays great, completes 64.5% of his passes, throws for close to 3,000 yards, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and just the whole fact that this was his hometown team, he was a walk-on, people told him he was never going to make it there, he leaves, goes to junior college, comes back to Georgia on scholarship, and ends up leading them to a national championship, whereas at the beginning of the season, people told him he was a fool for coming back, that he's never going to play, that JT Daniels is going to lead Georgia to the promised land. And when it's all said and done, Stetson Bennett ends up getting the job done for Georgia. So I think that was a great story. I mean, Utah's there, but since I had Whittingham as head coach of the year, I went with Stetson Bennett as story of the year.
Well, I just can't argue with you there. Watching him cry at the end of the game when they got that pick and they got the pick six, that's a Rudy-style moment. There's just not much more you can get from there. That's just that's a Disney storyline, and it was written in real life. It is just incredible to see what happened to him. It is also incredible to think a walk-on just won the national championship at quarterback. That is just crazy to me. and I want to congratulate him. I don't really want to congratulate Georgia on winning a national championship. I have not very much desire to cheer for Georgia.
I think it's even crazier, though, that not only did Stetson Bennett as a walk-on lead Georgia to a national championship,
it was against frickin' Nick Saban.
I think it's even crazier that Georgia had a walk-on as their starting quarterback. Like, it's Georgia.
Yeah.
You would expect them to...
They have number one recruiting classes all the time, and they can't find a quarterback that is better than a walk-on 5'10" player to play Alabama. Like, I will just congratulate him. Like, I think he's earned himself to be in a draft pick. So why don't we go... We have two more things left to do. One of them is going to be College Football Truth Day MVP. And then our final thing will be our most interesting thing, I think, of the podcast. We are going to do College Football Truth Day Game of the Year. So why don't you tell about your College Football Truth Day MVP for the first year, and then we will head on to our College Football Truth Day Game of the Year.
So for me, my College Football Truth Day MVP is C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. He played very well this season. He completes 72% of his passes for 4,435 yards, 44 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, passer efficiency rating of 186.6. I mean, the dude was just flat out insane. I know he had weapons everywhere, but this guy was putting up numbers. Very impressive stuff from him. And I think he's going to, like you said, he's going to tear up the league next year. I think he should be the Heisman favorite coming in.
Yeah, so for my College Football Truth Day MVP, I have none other than Kenny Pickett, the quarterback out of Pitt. Here's the thing with Kenny Pickett is I'm just going to read you off his 2020 stats, and then I'm going to read you off his 2021 stats. He had a 61% completion percentage, 2,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 130 quarterback rating. That was his 2020 stats. In 2021, he had a 67% completion percentage, 4,319 yards, 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and 165 quarterback rating. His QBR was an 81.2. That is ninth in all college football. All I can say about this guy is he was the definition of the most valuable player in America for his team. He was just simply, without him, Pitt is nothing. Pitt has absolutely nothing without him. And he just had such a turnaround. He went from being a day three draft pick to being a first round draft pick and even first quarterback taken off the board consideration, depending on how he does at the combine and how Matt Corral does and Malik Willis and other quarterbacks up there. So I just want to – he is the definition of an MVP. I know C.J. Stroud has a little bit better stats, but Kenny Pickett is just – he's the definition of the most valuable player in college football. So we are going to head on to the college football game of the year. We are going to have 6 total games, and then at the very end of it, we are going to discuss, and both of us are going to pick one game that was our favorite. So, Lincoln, why don't you start off with – your first game of the year.
So these are in no particular order. We just kind of wrote them down as we thought of them. But my the first one I have on my list is Oklahoma versus Texas, the Red River rivalry. That was just such a great game. Oklahoma was down a lot. In that game, Caleb Williams comes in and leads them back. They end up winning 55-48. Just a tremendous comeback. They were down by, I think, 21 or 28 points at some point in the first quarter, I think it was, and they come back and win. So that was just a great game.
Yeah, so my first game, like he said, no particular order here. Arkansas at Ole Miss. That is just one of the most interesting games I've ever seen. Unfortunately, it was when we were driving up to the Virginia Tech-Notre Dame game, and we had to watch it on the phone and listen to it on the radio and stuff like that. But it was just an incredible game. Sam Pittman did a great job. Oh, that's who I could have chose as Coach of the Year. Sam freaking Pittman. Dang it. But that's who, I didn't even think about that one.
Remember what you said, though, when you lead a group of five teams
yeah.
to the playoff, that's just automatic.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. I could also set them for most improved team. Either way, point being is this. Great game. Just a fascinating game all the way down to the wire. Going for two for the win. Even though that's very controversial nowadays, I think it was the right decision in a hostile environment to go for the win, go home, and hopefully win the game. But unfortunately, they lost that one. But just a fantastic game. So, Lincoln, what's your second game?
So my next game is Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan State, it ends up pulling it out 37-33, the four-point win. Michigan was up by, I think, 14 at one point in the game, and Michigan State able to come back. Kenneth Walker having a huge game. That was just a fun one to watch, for sure. That was a great one. I remember we were tailgating for Clemson, Florida State. We were watching it at the restaurant while we ate in downtown Clemson. It was definitely a great game.
Yeah. So for my next game, I have Kansas versus Texas. This game was an absolute bloodbath in every way, every which way you would say that word. There is just this game was back and forth and back and forth. Texas, one of the biggest blue bloods of all time versus Kansas, one of the worst teams of all time in college football. It was just a crazy game. We were watching this one together, and we were just like, what the heck is going on? And we were watching a bunch of different games. I think San Diego State, Nevada was also on, and we had that game, and we were picked opposite in College Football Truth Day. So we were trying to watch that one to see who would win that one. But we just kept going back to the Kansas-Texas game. It was just incredible. But just a fun game. Awesome to see Kansas win that game. That was just the best part, was to see Kansas dethrone a blue blood program. I think Lance Leipold's got him heading in the right direction. It's going to be interesting to see what happens next year. Maybe they can get a couple more conference, non-conference wins rather than just have one non-conference win against Missouri State. Who do you have for your next and final game?
For my last game, I have Ole Miss, Tennessee. Ole Miss coming out 31-26. But this one, mainly for what happened with the huge delay, they have to move all the teams to the middle of the field. Trash, everything being thrown everywhere on the field. The fans, I think the entire student section was kicked out. And then just, you know, the story of Kiffin going back to Tennessee where he was there for like a year.
He was there for actually like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a full year.
Gets hit with a golf ball. They throw a golf ball at him. So that was just a crazy game. Very entertaining game to watch. So what was your third and final game?
Well, the thing I will say with this is the Ole Miss Tennessee thing. I want to say one quick thing. I don't advocate violence, but Lane Kiffin most definitely deserved that. I won't advocate for violence or anything, and you shouldn't throw stuff on the field, but it's not like Lane Kiffin didn't deserve that. What he did to Tennessee was just straight up wrong. Point being is that this still, for our last and final game, it was one of the best games of the year, maybe the best. And also other thing, I didn't point this out earlier, but, we're not counting bowl games. It's just regular season games. But maybe the best game of the year was a game that we both attended with my dad and my uncle. Just a crazy, crazy matchup down, back and forth all the way to the end. Five quarterbacks playing in this game, all because the starters got hurt or were taken out, and then the backups got hurt again, and the starters went back in. It was just a crazy, crazy game. That game is Virginia Tech, Notre Dame. One of the best atmospheres I've ever been to, and just a great game, a fun time. I know that as a Notre Dame fan, I was kind of one of the few Notre Dame fans, and we were sitting right next to the Virginia Tech student section, which I don't know why it was sitting, why we were even near the Virginia Tech student section, but for some reason we were near the Virginia Tech student section, and we probably about got our rear ends kicked by them. I will say this, if I wasn't a Notre Dame fan, I definitely would have been cheering hard for Virginia Tech. What did you think about that game, going to it and being in that environment and Enter Sandman and all the traditions that Virginia Tech has?
Yeah, that was such a great game. One, just a extremely nice campus with all the rock buildings And a lot of monuments and stuff there. But yeah, the atmosphere of that stadium was just absolutely insane. Enter Sandman definitely lived up to the hype. It was great. It was just a great overall experience. And yeah, it was a great game as well. Notre Dame with the game-winning field goal. The action was stopped for like a minute or two because there was some guy up on the balcony with a rapid-fire flashlight.
Yeah,
just steady blinking. And
and Jonathan Dorr after the game said, he just said, "Brian, I don't care, just let me kick the field goal," referring to the Notre Dame head coach, because Notre Dame's coach was the one that stopped it and said, "Hey, they're flashing the light," and Jonathan Dorr's, our Notre Dame's kicker, is just like, "I'll just kick the field goal, it doesn't matter." And being the clutch person that he is, he made the field goal and took Notre Dame home with a victory. So what is your favorite game of the year?
I think for sure it was that Notre Dame-Virginia Tech game, which it helped us, of course, being there at the game.
Yes.
But just the whole trip, the great atmosphere, I think I would definitely have that one on my list for greatest game.
Well, I will say this. That weekend had so many great games. You had Texas A&M upsetting Alabama. You had Ole Miss and Arkansas. You had Virginia Tech, Notre Dame. And I think there was even one more game that I'm forgetting on that weekend. It was just a crazy weekend of college football. I agree. It was my favorite game of the year. I had at least four heart attacks that game, but it was a fantastic game and a fantastic atmosphere. So, Lincoln, closing thoughts, closing statements before we head out for the last podcast of the season. Remember this, we will both probably head podcast out throughout draft season, so make sure like you're hanging around the podcast and follow it, because we will have more podcasts out. It's just we're done for the season of College Football Truth Day. Lincoln, closing thoughts?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun this season. I was able to take you down, and I was the College Football Truth Day first annual champion. And I'll be looking to defend my title next year. But maybe next year we can get some more of you guys involved, figure out a way to do that or something. See if we could get like a fan vote for some of the games.
Yeah, well,
or something like that.
Once we get up to about 500 subscribers, if you are listening to this and you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, subscribe, because once we get to 500 subscribers, we can do polls and stuff like that for community votes and stuff like that. So we just want to get to that 500 mark so that way we can add community polls and talking to you guys with statements that we don't have to put up a literal video for. So, yeah. But my closing thoughts is thank you that everyone that listened. It was a great college football season. It is the best one that I've had that I can remember. I was alive but did not remember a single thing about the 2007 season, I think is what it was.
Same here.
But I was 3 years old, so I don't remember any of it. But I will say this. It was an amazing season, a fun season, a season to remember. It'll be a season that we will be able to tell our kids about and stuff like that, because it was an absolute crazy season with Georgia as the national championship and the NA and all SEC championship. And the craziest season, guess what happens? You have an SEC national championship. I guess it can't be more fitting. Well, that's all for College Football Truth Day. I'm Reichley Ruby signing off here with Lincoln Stevens.